Srila Prabhupada, my dear Lord, although it is not your desire, you manifest this creation of gross and subtle elements just for our sensual satisfaction. Let your causeless mercy be upon us. For you have appeared before us in your eternal form, adorned with a splendid wreath of tulsi leaves. It is clearly stated here that the material world is not created by the personal will of the Supreme Lord. It is created by His external energy because the living entities want to enjoy it. This material world is not created for those who do not want to enjoy sense gratification, who constantly remain in transcendental loving service, and who are eternally Krishna conscious. For them, the spiritual world is eternally existent, and they enjoy them. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam is stated, for those who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this material world is useless. Because this material world is full of danger at every step. It is not meant for the devotees, but for living entities who want to lord it over the material energy at their own risk. Krishna is so kind that He allows the sense-enjoying living entities a separate world created by Him to enjoy as they like. Yet at the same time, He appears in His personal form. The Lord unwillingly creates this material world, but He descends in His personal form, or sends one of His reliable sons, or a servant, or a reliable author, like Vyasadeva, to give instruction. He Himself also instructs in the speeches of Bhagavad Gita. This propaganda work goes on side by side with creation to convince the misguided living entities who are rotting in this material world to come back to Him and surrender unto Him. Therefore, the last instruction of Bhagavad Gita is this: give up all your manufactured engagements in this material world and just surrender unto Me. I shall protect you from all simple reactions. My dear Lord, although it is not your desire, you manifest this creation of gross and subtle elements just for our sensual satisfaction. Let your causeless mercy be upon us, for you have appeared before us in your eternal form, adorned with a splendid wreath of tulsi leaves. Umagyananakanandasya gyanagyanasalakaya chatsurumritam yena tasmai sri guruve namah sri chaitanyam rupistam japtam yenam bhutale sayamrupagatamayam dadati svamvadantikam sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri adaita gada shiva sri yorakom Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here, Gautama Muni is explaining how, although it is not your desire, so the material world is not the desire of Krishna. So Krishna explains that this energy is a separated energy. Separated means that there's some separate desire. This is called separatism. Everybody has a separate desire. Just like I have a separate desire from you, you have a separate desire from me. Everybody has a separate desire. This is called separatism. So your desire may conflict with my desire. This is called conflict of interest. That's why you have lawyers, solicitors, courts. So many arbitration is going on because there's conflict of interest. And this conflict of interest is there in competition. Competitive. There is competitive desire. One man wants to be greater than another man. One person doesn't want to become subservient to another person. Nobody wants to be subservient, isn't it? Everybody wants to be the controller. So therefore, in the material world, we have millions and billions of controllers. Even the worm, when he crawls up the stool, in your stool there are so many worms that come. And also worms are there in stool. So when they crawl up, they think that I have... So even the worm who is climbing on the stool is thinking that I have conquered the stool. You see? Even though the stool itself is actually an inferior thing. Who wants to conquer stool? Can you conquer stool? No. But the world, when he reaches the top of the stool, he's thinking, look, I've reached the top. I'm the king of the castle. So, in the material world, everyone, as soon as they gain anything, they become puffed up. Even if their gain is a lump of stool. Prabhupada said that one time he saw one man on a train. He had some twigs that were half burnt. He collected some twigs from some fire. Fire was half burnt. So he collected all those twigs up, so he was keeping them on the train. So Prabhupada said, I could see that he was thinking, this is my possession. These twigs, they are my possession. But in actuality, what is the value of these twigs? But if you try to take, he will become angry. So, even any old rotten thing, attachment is so strong, people are so much attached. As soon as they have anything, they become proud. Every pauper is proud of his penny. So in the material world, the living entities are living a very pathetic life. Very pathetic, because they have nothing. They have a bag of stool, of bones, pus, mucus, bile, full of all sorts of abominations. The body itself, what is it? It's a collection of all sorts of rubbish. But still, because it looks a little attractive, or people think it looks attractive. It doesn't actually look attractive. If you look at the inside of the body, it looks disgusting. But because there's outer coating, Maya has very nicely coated, put a coating on, just like when you take poison. Sometimes they put poison in a sweet with sugar coating so that you take it. But the effect is you'll die. The attraction is there because of the sweet coating. So in the material world, material energy is coated. There is a coating. And people are very attracted to enjoy. But inside is only poison. Simply poison. So Narottam Das Thakur, he is singing, that I have drunk poison knowingly. Knowingly I have drunk poison. Even though I know it's poison, I am drinking it knowingly. So therefore, even though everybody knows they're going to get old, they're going to get diseased, they're going to die, still they're thinking, hope against hope. Somehow or other things will get better, even though this body is a bag of useless elements, even though the body is such a cause of misery, even though the mind is so miserable, still we're thinking, we'll get better. One day I'll meet a nice girl, we'll marry, we'll settle down together, have little kiddies, and we'll be very, very happy. And all the bad things in the world will go away because me and my lovely wife, Samantha or Mandy, whatever her name's going to be, we're going to have such a nice relationship with each other, and our little Gucci Witchy children, they're going to be so, give us so much pleasure. And we'll have a nice little house and a nice little bank account, and we'll have a little car, and whenever we go out together, we'll talk to each other, and we'll say sweet things to each other, and the little kiddies will say sweet things to us. And in this way we'll create a nice little sweet world. So everybody wants to create this nice little sweet world. But the material world is not a sweet place. So they get a great shock in their life when they find out that their nice little Mandy turns out to be a real witch. And their little kids come to turn out to be little demons. So they find out very quickly that all of this big phantasmagoria, this is called dreaming in the wilderness. They're just dreaming that something good will happen. It's very much like that if your house is on fire and you're thinking, let me make some nice place there. Even though the house is burning, but you're thinking, anyway, one room is not burned. The rest of the house is burning, but my room is not burned. I'll stay here in this room and enjoy. Similarly, the body is being burnt away by eternal time. Krishna says, time I am the destroyer of all these worlds. I am destroying everything. So, if you look at your body, you spend a whole lifetime looking after it, pampering it, feeding it, stuffing it full of food, making sure it's nice and fatty and sleepy, making sure it gets a nice facilities, whatever it wants. And in the end, you put it on a fire and set it light. So what you're doing, every day you're getting ready for that fire, isn't it? Because every day you're getting older and older. So more nearer, every day is a nearer day to that fire. That is the last fire you'll ever go to, isn't it? The last fire sacrifice. Isn't it? The final fire is there when they put you on the old slab, stick you on the old fire and put a match to it. That's the end of it. So every day we're getting closer to that. So that's like the house on fire. The fire has already begun. Preparations are there. Every day millions of people are going into this fire and getting burnt up. And we're waiting. Just like Prabhupada says, there's an old Hindi saying, there's some cow dung in India, of course, they dry it out in the sun and then they use it for cooking and so many other things. So when the cow dung is wet, you can't use it. So therefore, Prabhupada said they have a saying in Hindi that the wet cow dung is laughing at the dry cow dung. Oh, you're going to have to be burnt. But little does it know that when it is sufficiently dried out, it'll also have to be burnt. You see? It'll also have to be burnt. So therefore, we are also looking at all these people suffering in the material world, and we're thinking, they're suffering. We're not suffering. They're suffering. I'm a devotee. I don't suffer. They suffer. Isn't it? They suffer. So we get some perverted pleasure from this idea that we're something special and they should suffer. We don't suffer. But actually, all of us suffer. Whether you're a devotee, non-devotee, whatever you are. The material world means it is dukkhalaya. Dukkhalaya means always dukkha, suffering. The energy is created to cause suffering. So, therefore, it doesn't matter what type of activities you perform, they are full of suffering. But what is the difference with a devotee? As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nihayava te jita sango yasam samye shtitam mana nidosham hi samam brahma tasman brahmati te shtita. He said, those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, and thus they are already situated in Brahman. So the devotee, because he's situated on the transcendental plane, he has nothing to do with these sukha and dukkha of the material world. These happiness and pleasures of the material world are nothing to do, because these happiness and pleasures of the material world, they are separate from Krishna. The material world is a separated energy from Krishna. And therefore a devotee does not partake of this illusion. So here, Kadamba Muni is describing how, my dear Lord, although it is not your desire, you manifest this creation of gross and subtle animals. So it is not Krishna's desire to create such a horrible, miserable place, but at the same time, it is for the benefit of the living entities, because it gives them the opportunity of purification. The living entity wants to enjoy separately from Krishna, so he comes to the material world. He becomes more and more degraded, and with that degradation, he has to suffer all sorts of inauspicious situations. But no matter what situation he is in, he is continuously trying to lord it over material energy. Everyone is trying to lord it over material energy. And by Krishna's arrangement, material energy can never be controlled by the minute living entity. The little tiny living entity can never control. It's just like trying to capture the space. Space is so huge. Can you capture it in a bag? If you have a bag, you can capture space. You don't have a big enough bag, is it? Probably there is a bag that could be captured. Because Krishna is creating these universes, a big bag. Within that is so much space. But your bag is not big enough. You can't go to the same place and get a bag to capture space. Because it is very vast. Something that is very vast, you can't capture. Something which is very tiny, you can't capture. The only things you can capture are those things which come within your jurisdiction. And even then you have great struggle. If you see something, then just like a mountain, how can you capture a mountain? You can't. But you can search for a little bit of gold from the mountain, or some diamonds or jewels. You can take a little bit of benefit from the mountain. So, therefore we can understand that the living entity in the material world, because of the adversity of material energy is very adverse. Adverse means it is against our interest. Because it is not in the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore it is not in our interest. You understand? Because material energy is not created in the interest of God. My dear Lord, although it is not your desire, so therefore in one sense, as Krishna says, although all of this energy is resting in me, I am not in it. Behold my mystic opulences. Krishna is Yogeshwar. Yogeshwar means he is the master of all mysticism, all mystical opulences. So he creates the material energy, but at the same time, he is not in it. It's all resting on him, but Krishna's business is Anandamoya Vyasat. His business is Ananda, pleasure. The material world has no pleasure. It is devoid of pleasure. There's a little bit of illusion of pleasure. Just like in the desert, there's some water, a tiny small drop. In the material world, there is some pleasure there, but it is very tiny. And also, it doesn't stay. Even when you capture some pleasure, it doesn't stay. It doesn't stay permanently. It's only there for a temporary amount of time. Sometimes we feel happy, and then the next minute we're very sad. If you look at anyone's life, they're up and down like a cork on the ocean. Sometimes the wave picks them up high, and then it drops them down very low. So people are constantly up and down, up and down. According to their association with matter, matrishpashashtukanta, ashitoshna, sukhatukanta, Krishna says, just like the association with the seasons, now winter has come, so we must suffer. But it's not, the winter is not a suffering. It's our association with winter, which is a suffering. Just like an iron bar is not suffering, but if I hit you over the head with it, it is suffering, isn't it? Matter is dead, inanimate substance. But at the same time, because of your association with that substance, therefore, according to that association, you have to suffer. Just like water. Water is there in the lake. If you jump in the middle of winter, then you get freezing. But if you jump in the middle of a boiling hot summer day, you feel pleasure. The water is not the problem. It's your association with it that is a problem. If you want to enjoy, then you have to enjoy under certain conditions. That is called conditional life. So you can't simply change the conditions to suit you. The conditions are the laws of nature. Nature works under certain laws. But at the same time, who is the lawmaker? One has to understand, why did Krishna create the material energy? Who is the lawmaker? So if you understand that Krishna is the lawmaker, then as the Lord says, that how do you become free from the influence of this nature? Because just like in a prison, a prisoner, he can have good behavior. So Krishna is explaining to Arjuna, what is the good behavior? What is the good behavior? The good behavior, as Krishna says, Puktaram Jagnatapasyam Savalokam Hissaram Surinam Savavitanam Nyakamam Shanti Richati. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. So Krishna gives us very clear instructions. There's no vagueness. There's no, need of speculation. Krishna says very clearly, a person in full consciousness of me, the first business of spiritual life is to become fully conscious of God. We have to become fully conscious. At the moment, our consciousness is wrapped up in matter. And that's why we are in a very pathetic situation. This wrapping, just like you put wrappers sometimes when you get a sweet, it's got an outer wrapper and an inner wrapper, isn't it? The business is to get the sweet, not the wrapper, isn't it? You don't buy a sweet to eat the wrapper, do you? And you buy it to eat the wrapper? No. You buy it to get the sweet. So the thing which is important is what's inside the wrapper. Similarly, the material body. The material body is the wrapper. It is wrapped. The living entity is wrapped inside the body. But at the same time, because consciousness is manifested through the body, so we are thinking that somehow or other we are connected with matter, with this body. So, therefore, Krishna explains, as Prabhupada says here in his purport, the conditioned souls within the clutches of illusionary energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world, but they do not know the formula for peace. And Prabhupada said, the greatest peace formula is simply this. Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. So in other words, Krishna is the one who benefits from our activities. That is how you redirect the energy, just like it says here, that Krishna creates the energy in a separate mood, in other words, separatism. So, very simple. How do you get rid of material consciousness? By removing the separatist mentality. That separatist mentality of thinking that there is something separate from Krishna. There is nothing separate from Krishna. Everything is resting on Him. As Krishna says, everything is resting on me as pearls are strung on a thread. That means that if you, just like you have pearls on a thread, everything is completely resting on that string. Similarly, all of this energy is resting on Krishna. Everything is resting on Krishna. Everything is dependent on Him. Not a blade of grass moved without His sanction. So therefore, a devotee should become very, very aware of this, that everything in my life is completely owned and controlled by Krishna. And therefore, let me utilize everything for His benefit. Why? Because it's His property. It is His property. I am simply partaking of that by His kind permission. Just like if you see an apple, is it your apple? If you go, let's say for instance, you go into someone's house and there's an apple on the table, can you just take it and eat it? If you take the apple and eat it, it's rude, isn't it? It's rude. So someone may say, why did you come here and eat my apple? Rude fellow. Get out. But if the same person says, oh, would you like that apple? Then immediately you can eat it. And that person is happy to see you eat it, isn't it? They're happy to see you eat it because there is an exchange of love involved. But if you come in and you take it without asking, you're a thief. Nobody likes a thief because there's no love involved. A thief has no love. If you look at a thief, they have no respect or love for anyone, even themselves, because they're thieves. Their mentality is how to cheat people, how to exploit people. Their mood is exploitation. So, if someone has something and you take it without their authority, then you are a rascal. You will be put in prison and punished. Similarly, everything belongs to Krishna. When you get an apple, you should think, oh, Krishna is very kind. Personally, He has made this apple. Because personally made this apple so as to give me a little bit of mercy in His prasadam. So the devotee, he actually offers that apple to Krishna. Patram pushpam palam tuyam yogi bhakti prajata. Krishna says, you can offer me flower, fruit, vegetables, like that. So this apple is fruit, palam. Yogi bhakti prajata. So the devotee, out of love, likes to offer that apple. Out of love. So therefore, Krishna, out of love, accepts it. It's not a ritual. It's not a dry ritual. Because I want to eat the apple, let me do a quick... and put it in my belly as quickly as possible. That's not bhakti. That's called greediness. So therefore, this whole offering of Krishna, serving Krishna, it should be invoking love in the heart. Otherwise, it's simply another type of thievery. Different types. Some people are thieves, blatant thieves. Some people are sneaky thieves. So many different types of thieves, isn't there? Just like there's pickpockets, burglars, there's crooks, bank robbers, there's counterfeit cheaters, what they call computer fraud, white-collar fraud. So many different types of thieves, not just one type of thief. So in the material world, there are many, many types of thieves. Different types of thieves. Some people, they steal, and they know it belongs to Krishna, but still they steal. Others, they don't know, and they don't care who owns it, they steal. And sometimes even devotees, they also, they have no interest in pleasing Krishna, but they want to fill their belly. They're also a type of thief. And they're thinking, let me make Krishna my servant. So he should provide everything for me, and I can lie around and get big fat belly, melancholy. Belly can get bigger and bigger. I can become more and more lazy. But because ISKCON has a lot of facilities, they can provide everything for me, and I can have a very nice, happy life, and Krishna can just bring me all sorts of services. He can render me nice service. So this is also a type of thieving, and it goes on. People come to ISKCON, they see some facilities, they take those facilities for their own use, they try to use them for their own pleasure. That's another type of thieving. So we must be very careful to remove this thieving mentality from our conscience. We're not here to get some service from Krishna. We are here to serve Krishna. We are here to develop love for Krishna. Love always means some kind of sacrifice. You can't have love without some sacrifice. Just like if a man meets a woman, a boy meets a girl, there's some sacrifice. Sacrifice means the boy gives the girl a flower, he gives her a house, he gives her this, he gives her that. He tries to give her so many things. And the wife, she tries to give him very nice foodstuffs, she gives him some pleasure, sensual pleasure, whatever. She tries to provide all sorts of nice things for him. So in this way, because they're sacrificing for each other, you see how in every relationship has any worth, there's some sacrifice. And the more sacrifice, the more dear that person becomes. Just like if you have a friend, the greatest friend is someone who sacrifices his life for you. And you feel very obliged if someone gives up their life for you. It would be a very big sacrifice. So in the same way, the love for Krishna is manifested in how much we sacrifice. Without sacrifice, actually, spiritual life is simply a nonsense, simply a bogus farce. Because you can't pretend that you love Krishna. You have to show your love by actions. There's an old saying that actions speak louder than words. You can talk so many things, isn't it? But what do? It's easy. Anyone can sit down and talk, and make big propaganda. If you see their activities, then you have to look at their activities and see what this person is doing. So if someone is saying, yes, you have to do this, do that, and then they're simply going and you see all they spend their whole time serving themselves, then what is the meaning? What is the meaning of their? So it is not just simply flowery words. One should not be simply attracted to some flowery words. But action speaks louder than words. So Krishna, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, explained the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Arjuna didn't just sit there and go, oh yeah, very nice. Listen, by the way, I'll tell you a nice story, and we'll all have nice stories. No. Arjuna said, yes, now I have understood Lord Krishna. Let me fight. So therefore, Arjuna risked his life fighting on the battle of Kurukshetra for protection of Dharma. So therefore, to protect Dharma, religiosity, Arjuna was ready to die on the battlefield. He had no fear of dying. So he was ready to sacrifice his life because Krishna says, I want you to fight. On my order, you fight. Arjuna didn't want to fight. The whole thing of the Gita is that Arjuna did not want to fight. He became very bewildered. Why we should fight his cousins, brothers, so many different reasons he was given for not fighting. But Krishna says, do not fight for the sake of fighting, without considering happiness, distress, loss, gain, victory, or defeat. And in so doing, we will never incur sin. So when we serve Krishna, we should serve Krishna for his pleasure, not considering whether we get happiness or distress. That doesn't matter. If Krishna wants us to have distress, we will have so much distress. If Krishna wants us to be happy, we will have so much happiness. That's not our business. We're not doing a barter with Krishna. That Krishna, listen, I'll do a deal with you. I'll do so many things, but you have to give me this, 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 this. Is that okay? It's not okay, I want to know pretty quick, because I don't want to waste my time. This is not barter. Just like you go to a company, and you say to the company, I'll do a week's work and you pay me £200. That mood is not entertained in spiritual life. Actually, the devotee's mood is that whatever Krishna wants, that has to be performed. Whatever this, whatever the cost is. So in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is said, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prithvi. So Prabhupada explained, everyone is searching for Krishna in different aspects of his manifestations. So everyone is actually searching for Krishna, but they don't know who is Krishna. What they think is they're searching for, they think they're searching for happiness. But there's no question of happiness without Krishna. It doesn't exist. Krishna is known as Akila Rasamrita Murti. He is known as the, Murti means of course deity, but he is the object of all rasa, all pleasure. God is the full reservoir of all pleasure, therefore we use the word Rama. So everyone wants pleasure. But they think that pleasure is something separate from Krishna. That is their disease. They think that there's pleasure without Krishna. That's like saying that there's heat without the sun. Isn't it? Just like, for instance, you may have a torch. And you may light the torch. So you may think, oh look, I've created my own sun. But actually, where does the torch come from? Where does the energy of the torch come from? And from the sun. Similarly, you may light a candle, and you may say, oh look, I've also created light. The sun, there's light in the sun, but I've created my own light. But that light is actually dependent on the sun. Because it comes from the sun. Similarly, all energy comes from Krishna. Therefore, if we are engaged in extracting some pleasure from energy, we're actually engaged in extracting pleasure from Krishna. Because Krishna is manifested in all of his energy, just like foodstuffs. Krishna says, anna. Anna means foodstuff. Anadam. Anadam. So, foodstuffs, we are dependent on foodstuffs. So when we take that foodstuff, we get pleasure, isn't it? We don't eat foodstuffs to become miserable. We eat it to become pleasure, because our belly is rumbling. Sometimes there's rumbling bellies, isn't it? If you go for a few days without food, you'll feel a rumbling, isn't it? So then, when you feel the rumbling in the belly, then you want to satisfy the belly. And the tongue is also agitated. So, as soon as you bite into that nice foodstuff, then all your senses, your mind, everything becomes enlivened. Isn't it? That's why foodstuff, if you don't have it for some time, then it becomes even more relishable. You go into moods of separation, and you get all the trembling, different symptoms in the body, how to enjoy the foodstuff. So therefore, when you get this foodstuff, nice foodstuff, then you become very enlivened. But Krishna says, anamoya, as anamoya means, he has expanded himself in foodstuffs. Because what is foodstuffs? They are different combinations of Krishna's creation. And as Krishna says, rasaham apsakante, rasaham. I am the rasa in the water, food, taste in the water, just like when we have water. Of course, if you've been very, very thirsty, I don't know if you've ever been so thirsty, but if you're in the desert, in India sometimes, you become so thirsty. And the cool water is like nectar, like drinking nectar. And the taste is so satisfying, it relieves all fatigue. Even Prabhupada said in the First World War, most people died because of lack of water. As soon as there's not water, then people become very, very weak and very, their bodies very quickly get run down. So you can live much longer even if you have water. Even if you don't have other foodstuffs, water can keep going quite a long time. So without water, but that taste of water, Krishna says, I am that taste. It's a special taste. It's not the same taste if you mix some chemicals or some juice with it. But if you have clear water, it's very satisfying. Nothing can satisfy thirst like water. There's nothing. All these fizzy pops, they don't satisfy the thirst. One drink of water, the thirst becomes satisfied. That's because water is mystical. It's a mystical energy. It's Krishna's energy. And therefore Krishna says, that water I am. So when you drink water, you are actually experiencing Krishna. And it's not different from Krishna, because it's his energy. So therefore, such a simple thing like having a drink of water, you can realize God. You see? And just like also in alcohol, people drink alcohol, they like the experience, the taste, the feel. So this is also, all of these things are expansion of Krishna's energies. So in the material world, those energies are manifested in inferior degrees. But still, Krishna is there in the sense that he's there in a separated energy. But as Krishna, as Prabhupada says here, that Krishna is the object of everyone's realization. And thus, everyone and anyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. You see? According to your desire to have Krishna, then you will become satisfied. If your desire is to enjoy Krishna through his limited energy, then you will have limited satisfaction. Because that is just like, for instance, suppose I am a big, big man, a multi-billionaire. But you come and I give you some small thing. Maybe a cauliflower on my farm. I have a farm, I give you a cauliflower. So, by my mercy, you are enjoying. But what sort of thing you're enjoying? Only a cauliflower. Isn't it? But still, it's my cauliflower and you chicken. So it's not because I'm a multi-millionaire that I can't give you more, but it's because of your, as you would say, your luck, good luck. So sometimes you find big, big billionaire, they give, just like this man, the head of CNN,
Turner.
So they give him 1 billion. So someone is getting the $1 billion. The people who work for him, they may only be getting a little wage pay. He can give $1 billion, but they're getting a small wage pay. Or some are getting a big wage pay. Some are only getting to a little tip when he leaves the hotel. He gives them a tip. According to how they relate to him, he relates to them. He has his own free will, his own sweet independence. Similar to the personality of Godhead, is completely independent. And by his own sweet independence, Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward. That is his prerogative. So Krishna is never to be demanded by us that he should give us something. Rather, for a devotee, he has no interest in taking anything from Krishna, but his only interest is to satisfy Krishna out of love. And therefore, just like with this Mr. Turner, probably he has some intimate family, his wife and children, and he gives them things. They don't even have to ask. Some other person may ask them, isn't it? Just like if he goes to a restaurant, the hotel restaurant manager will ask him to pay for his food. They may ask him for money, and he gives them money, but for his family he gives out of love. Similarly with the materialists in the material world, according to their activities they get rewards. That has nothing to do with Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, with all my mystic office, although it is in, this energy is resting in me, I am not in it. So at the same time, according to the laws of karma, those who are engaged in karmic activities, they get karmic results. Therefore, in this purport, it says they run a great risk, very risky business, because in the material world, whatever you do, you will get an opposite concomitant reaction. So it's risky. If you're violent, you will get hit by violence. If you're lusty, you will get your reaction. So many reactions. So we see how in the material world, people are suffering so many different inconveniences because of their simple activities. But for Krishna's devotees, Krishna takes special care to reciprocate with his devotees out of love. And what is the love of Krishna? Krishna takes away everything from his devotees. That's his love. Because he doesn't want them to become unnecessarily entangled. You see? Just like someone loves their child, then naturally they try to protect the child. You can't say, oh, I love my child, therefore I gave it a machine gun. Isn't it? And then the child blows its head up. And you say, oh, well, what can I do? You give the child a stick of dynamite to play with. No. The mother, father, they give the child, but only according to what is good for the child. Because their real interest is the well-being of the child. Similarly, Krishna does not give the material, the devotee something that may entangle him more and more. Therefore, devotees are always very poor. They don't have much. Because they don't need much. To love Krishna, you don't need anything. Because Krishna only wants your dedication. Dedication comes in just like even in the material world, we see people are dedicated to each other. It doesn't mean it's based upon some material thing. It's actually a higher relationship. Just like the mother and the child. What do they need? The child embraces the mother, and the mother embraces the child. There's no monetary interaction, no big complicated thing, simply an emotional love. So therefore, similarly, our relationship with Krishna is an affair of the heart. It's an affair of the heart. It's not based on external considerations. But the heart must be clean. The heart must be pure. Therefore, a devotee is always chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. To purify that, Chaitanya Dabana Bhajan, to get rid of the dirty, filthy things that are in the heart, so that the heart may again become attracted to Krishna. Because our heart is so filthy, full of all the rotten, stinking matter that we've picked up from millions of lifetimes in the material world. Therefore, our heart is like concrete. Uncomfortable. Just like if you go, you see water. Water, when it associates with the cold atmosphere, becomes ice. So if you go to frustration, kick it. The even nice cars, even kicking. So, similarly in the material world, we're getting a ruchi, some taste from the material world, but we're getting kicked. And for a devotee, when he develops ruchi taste for Krishna, there's no more kicking. Because that taste is eternal. That is the difference. So in the beginning, one may follow the rules and regulations because of a need to keep the mind a little regulated, to keep some steadiness. See, just like if we don't get up, we'll sleep all night. We don't come to the morning program, we simply sit around talking constantly, to jump up, simply eating and sleeping. But by regulation, your mind becomes a little thing. The whole object is to fix the mind. It's not to follow rules, it's to fix the mind in Krishna. So it's not a hackneyed thing. It should be very enthusiastic. Utsaha. Utsaha means enthusiasm for Krishna. So that comes gradually. It's not a cheap thing. That is a real thing. It's an eternal thing. And it comes gradually by association with Krishna. The more you associate with Krishna, the more this taste will come. But a devotee is very patient, because we've been associated with Maya for billions of births, and now what have we been associated with Krishna for a few minutes? Doesn't mean we have to immediately get our result, otherwise, Krishna, you don't give me a result, I'm going away. I'm going to chase after something else. So Krishna will say, yeah, go away. You don't want me, you go away. So Krishna says, then they surrender unto me, then I reward. So that test is there. Krishna is also testing through his energy. He's seeing what it is the person is really determined for me, or whether he wants something else. And if you want something else, then Krishna will give it to you. He won't allow you to come close in case that you're another thief in disguise, just like a company. They're very careful to screen people who work for them in case they're coming for the wrong motive. And then they see, is this person going to steal or cheat from us? And then when they clear them, then they allow them entrance into the... It's like if you get a job at a superior company, they'll screen you first, they'll be watching you with secret cameras to see if you're stealing anything, if you're cheating. So Krishna is also looking to see, is this person really after serving me, or has he got some shopping list in his pocket? Has he come to pick my pockets? So just like anyone, if you have a house, you don't allow anyone in off the street. Do you? Suppose you have a wife, beautiful wife, and some children. You don't just go away to work and then you meet someone on the street, hey, go back and look after my wife and children. Isn't it? You don't know who they are. They could be a murderer, a rapist, thief, anything. So therefore, you're always careful. So in the material world, this world is full of thieves, scoundrels, crooks, rogues, cheaters. So Krishna is, through his material energy, he is making sure that those who come to him for the right reason. Otherwise he keeps them away. He keeps them away by his maya. His yoga maya, maya, maya. By his maha maya, he keeps them billions upon billions of miles away. By his yoga maya, he can be there in 1 second, microsecond. Okay, Shiva Bhagavatam Aparanam Ki Jai, Shri Kripa Ki Jai.